Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us and thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Diane Bauer.
Very good. Pat, you wanted to start us off.
You know I'm tracking Fannie Willis like a dog. And so we have a Fannie Willis update. And it's very intriguing because we don't know much, but it gives us a clue to keep watching for further developments. The Department of Justice has subpoenaed her travel records from last fall, and apparently it's international travel. So where did she go near the election?
In election season, yeah.
Yes, yes. DOJ didn't give a reason.
They didn't give a reason, but they're subpoenaed. Now, because it's subpoenaed, will they in fact show up?
Will who show up?
The records.
The records?
The travel records.
Well, she's being pursued by enough instruments of the government. I can't imagine she wouldn't just send them. But based on her past performance, she might tell them to go pound sand. In which case, there'll be further developments.
Further developments.
Which you will report on, I'm sure.
Coming later.
Because, you know, as a past district attorney, I just can't imagine the ego and the arrogance it took to file a RICO case against a former president and 17 other people. And put your boyfriend in charge, who's only done traffic tickets and prenuptial contracts.
And she got reelected.
Yeah, she got away with it.
That's insane.
She's black. Atlanta is black. The guy that ran against her is black, but he was a loser. He'd run before.
And, well, Atlanta needs to look at their voting.
Fulton County. Yes, I'm going way back in history in a totally different location. It was called Fulton's Folly.
Oh, all right.
The steamboat, yes.
Okay.
Well, since we're speaking about Georgia at the moment, I don't know whether you folks have heard about this lawsuit that was filed against the state of Georgia, and I believe there was one filed against the state of Alabama. What happened was during the Biden administration, when the COVID crisis was starting and they came up with this big spending program to give money to people. Yeah. They apparently designated quite a few dollars to go to people who might need to pay their rent during this time. And what they found in Georgia, the allegation in the lawsuit was 85% of that money went to blacks. And only 15% went to non-blacks in Georgia. And the governor of Georgia, what's his name?
Raffenberger.
Well, no, anyway, the governor of Georgia indicated he didn't know anything about it and all this stuff, the lawsuits on them. But it was quite amazing to see, you know, what they're alleging is that the bureaucrats down in the lower parts of the government were the ones that were actually deciding who gets the money. And they were shuffling out to the groups that they wanted to shuffle.
Well, of course.
Brian Kemp was the governor.
Kemp, yeah.
Raffenberger was the lieutenant governor.
At that time, yeah. So, anyway.
Now we wanted to switch hats. Welcome to the shutdown.
The Schumer shutdown.
The Schumer shutdown. It's the Schumer shutdown. So in honor of the Schumer shutdown, let me just add something. Chucky Schumer's just playing the game, shutting our country down again. Spending more is what he wants, hoping to support his debutantes. Spending so wildly now is the name of his pompous recurring political game. Do it my way, he screams and then shouts while stomping around as he flails and then pouts. Pointing his finger that he just won't bend, we all know he's clearly an overt bag of wind. Most of his allies can now clearly see that the next in his line will soon be AOC. Funding illegals and money abroad is the shtick. Of this type of spending, we now all are sick. Both he and his party keep moving far left, leaving the country we live in serious bereft. Where comes his funding, I'll ask you to look. Why all of it, yes, all, comes from you. Close the book.
Ooh, very good.
Well, I think the most interesting comment on the shutdown was from John Fetterman, who was evidently being interviewed on CNN and asked about the whole thing. And when he was asked about, does he have a suggestion for his party as how it, you know, it can achieve its demands on health care policy as part of the spending talks, his answer was, win elections.
Well, and he, you know, Schumer was dead set against ever shutting down the government. That was his big thing for, like, years.
Well, they passed the same bill in March.
Right. But it's because Trump is there.
No, it's because AOC is on his tail.
Yes, oh, right. it's AOC.
She threatened to primary him.
Oh, which she'll probably do anyway.
Yes. Oh.
If she doesn't run for president. So
they love her there in New York.
Yeah, I was listening to talk radio, and they said somebody asked John Burchett. He's a Republican congressman. They ask him, when is Schumer going to come to the table and, you know, reopen the government? He said, when his polls flip.
Oh, yeah, when his poll numbers go down. And that's true.
Because he's looking at AOC.
And again, there's no way. I mean, the media will try to blame this on the Republicans, but there's no way a logical person can draw that conclusion. No.
Well, apparently the what they're yelling about is something that was passed as a temporary measure during COVID.
Yeah.
And it's sunsetting.
Yeah, they don't want it to sunset.
They don't, you know, once you put something in the budget, it should go on ad infinitum.
Well, it's also health care for the illegals that we're pushing out of the country.
And we're talking about $1.5 trillion. Now, in terms of the deficit, that's not a big percentage, but it's certainly not pocket change.
Well, they want $500 million restored to NPR.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They want health care for illegals, and they want money for transgender care. So they asked the three things that Trump was bound to say no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Those are things that I ran on that we're against, and we're not doing it.
And those are not 50-50 issues. Those are at least 80-20 issues against what Schumer is doing.
Right.
Well, just to reinforce what you said, Mary, they did a poll of the citizens, and most people, 65 to 70% of people were opposed to this shutdown, which had to include Democrats also. It wasn't, you know,
well, the
obviously
New York
Republicans
Times,
were opposed to it, but
the
there
New
were
York
Democrats
Times
too.
Poll said something like 60% blamed the Democrats for the shutdown. And when Schumer cited that and said it was a biased poll,
everybody
he got laughed at.
Everybody laughed. Yeah, I saw that video.
But I thought it was ironic the way Trump turned it around. Said, okay, if we want to shut down, this will allow us to lay off a number of people and to look at whether these people, if they're considered non-essential, because when they shut down, they continue to employ the essential employees, and then they identify all these people as non-essential. So Trump says, well, if we have all those people that are considered non-essential, let's take a look at those and see if we can eliminate the funding for them, savings.
Not just lay them off, fire them.
Well, that's what I mean, lay off permanently.
Well, the irony is in the past shutdowns, when people come back to work, we've paid them the back pay.
Yeah.
If you're laid off, you're not going to get that back pay because you were laid off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only the essentials we get.
Schumer laid you off.
Yeah, right.
There is also some suggestions of a bill, and I don't know if the bill has actually materialized, that Congress will not get paid while the government is closed.
No, that's just an idea.
And they will not get their back pay after it opens again.
No.
Well, that's why they
That's not an
That's why
bill.
They feel like they could shut it down, because it never affects them.
That's true.
And we have all the military. There's a lot of people affected by this because they still have to report to work without getting paid. So the longer they drag this out, the worse it's going to get.
Now, Trump has already said the military will be paid and Social Security will be paid.
Right.
But the fact is that the government should not be shut down because of somebody's petty garbage.
There you go.
If I may put that as tactfully
as
possible.
Well, I don't think it's petty garbage. But I laughed so hard about the sombrero on Hakeem Jeffries.
Yes. I haven't seen
You haven't
that.
Seen the video?
Yes. Oh.
It's an AI video, and Trump's put out two. And the first one has Hakeem and Chuck Schumer standing beside each other. And Hakeem is wearing a sombrero and a black mustache.
Okay.
And Schumer starts saying, gee, we don't have anybody that'll vote for us anymore. Everybody hates us. Even the black people won't vote for us anymore. So we better get these illegals in here. Maybe if we give them health care, they'll vote for us because they don't speak English and they don't know that we're full of woke bullshit. So
that's a funny one.
Yeah, that's a funny one. And then the second one still has the sombrero and the black mustache, but it's got a mariachi band behind them, and everybody on the band is Trump playing. Hakeem went on in an interview last night and was, you know, he makes me laugh because he's just so full of wind signifying nothing. The next time you want to say something to me, say it to my face.
Well,
when they were in the Oval Office, Trump had two hats for him that he offered him. It was Trump 2028, and they declined to take them.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lack of sense of humor. And President Trump knows exactly how to troll. You know, he's a master troller.
He's a troller in chief, that's for sure.
Yes.
And they don't like it.
So what else do we learn
when
from
we
the
come
shutdown?
Back?
Well, what else do we learn from the shutdown? We've learned that I believe we're saving money right now.
I've learned that not much seems to shut down.
Not much. There's not a lot of difference.
Me.
I have not felt any difference.
I got paid yesterday.
I have not felt any difference today.
And those are federal checks.
Mm-hmm.
And my next one is my Social Security check, and that's going to go out whether it's closed or not.
The only thing that I think affects people directly is when they shut down, like the national parks, where some of the museums get shut down, that people might have plans to attend. But other than that, most of the bureaucrats, people don't even see them. They don't.
And that's a moderate inconvenience, really. Yeah.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to switch gears and we're going to go to the new military. What does the new military mean?
Before we start, I just want to say one thing. Sitting in this table, we have three military veterans and two wives of military veterans.
And a mom of a military son.
Well, I have grandsons in the military. Yeah. So we get a lot of military.
You got it covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pretty much...
We're biased.
Yeah, yes. Totally. But okay, now
in
we
good,
can...
In favor of.
In a good way.
Yeah, in favor of.
Now we can go ahead.
All right, I want to address it.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, the first time the government shut down, the military didn't get paid.
Right.
And I was on active duty at the time, and I remember them telling us, we're not getting paid today. The government shut down. And it was like somebody had cut my legs out from under me. The government is not working? What? You know, it was just such a bizarre notion.
Now, I'm curious, where were you stationed at that point?
I was in Goodfellow Air Force Base, San Angelo, Texas, which is okay. West Texas.
Okay.
It's 100 miles from anywhere in any direction.
So that's when you go to your friends and say, 5 for 7.
Yes.
The loan.
Oh, no, didn't do that. Didn't have to do that.
Okay.
At any rate, it seems to me, I watched a clip of Hegseth's speech, and I was particularly interested in looking at the faces of all the generals sitting there. None of them were smiling. They were all stony-faced. And the article I read said they were disgusted by Hegseth because he could have sent this information to them in an email. I don't think they're getting the information that I'm in charge, and when I say come, you come.
And you know what? I know that you heard it. I can't tell when you read an email or not.
Correct.
But I do know you heard it.
Exactly. And he reiterated what he started with when he first took office, which is no more DEI, no more climate worship, no more, you know, BS. And the thing that I particularly liked, read an article yesterday about restoring grooming standards.
Yes.
When he said, I'm tired of looking at fat generals and fat admirals waddling around the Pentagon.
Yeah, he said they had that the admirals and generals, they had to meet the physical or standards.
Right.
And that, you know, that's going to be tough for a lot of them.
Well, didn't you think that when you saw a general who was really fit, that he must be a real iron son of a bee?
Well, most of the ones that are really fit are the Marine, like, colonels, and they're the ones because they're really working at it. When I go on the base here, there's a lieutenant colonel who won this whole dead weight lifting, all this stuff. They're fit. They're fit to go. It's the Navy and the Air
Force. I think when they declared it the Department of War,
right,
rather than the Department of Defense, that represented a sea change that was coming. And I think it's a good change.
And we know that we're no longer a social experiment.
Well,
supposedly.
We'll see about that, because it's been a social experiment for decades. It was a social experiment in the 70s when I was in.
Yes.
Because they had just ended the draft, started the all-volunteer army, and had put women in. Because they allowed women in because they thought, once the draft ended, the men weren't going to join. And that was an experiment. They weren't prepared for it. They hadn't prepared any of their supervisors or any of their support people for how to handle this sudden influx of women. Where I was at in Berlin, the current brown shoe colonel left over from World War II actually built a wall and put a locked door in it so nobody could walk down the hall past our doors because we'll all get raped. And we were offended by that. Nobody got raped. And after a while, because the locked door incommoded the men, they unlocked it and left it open. So.
Well, I think his meeting sent the message to our adversaries. Mm-hmm. In other words, he gets all these people together, and one of the messages that he made a point about, Hegseth, was the fact that they are supposed to be focusing on war. They're supposed to be focusing on being prepared.
Now we've been through this
before.
And
that type of thing. And
show me your war face.
Yeah, and that's the point. The point is, you know, and the reality of it is China is building their military at a breakneck pace, particularly the Navy.
Yes.
And Russia seems to be totally impervious to any kind of pressure to stop the war in Ukraine. It's a dangerous time.
It comes and goes, though, Alan.
I know it might come and go, but it needs to be on the table now that they're all on the same page, and that is focusing on the realities of what we're facing, because we are facing potential conflict with Russia and China.
Well, how does this statement compare to the statement, you can't be in the military unless you take the jab? I mean, we went through that period where unless you took the COVID jab, you weren't going to be in the military. So now we're hearing instead, you're not going to be in the military unless you act more military. I mean,
different issues.
Unless you're
physically
fit.
I know they're different issues.
But, I mean, you always had, up until recently, you always had to be physically fit to be in the military.
Well, they still have PRTs. They still have to pass their PRTs.
Mm-hmm.
So but the thresholds keep changing. You know, as you age, there's different set of parameters.
Not in the Air Force.
In Navy, there is.
Air Force, back in the 70s, they institute new height and weight requirements, and they didn't age them.
Oh.
So if you were an 06, and let's face it, by the time you make 06, you've started gaining weight. It's just the way the human body goes. And the 06s didn't do it. But for those of us that were hitting middle age, you know, we were fighting the same uphill battle. But the PT test for the Air Force was to walk 1 mile.
That's the Air Force. You know, they have beautiful chairs, too.
I remember sitting in a restaurant in Massachusetts with my son-in-law, who was a lieutenant colonel at the time, and a group of Navy chiefs walked in. And they were as round as they were tall.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Marine officer, he didn't say anything, but he was totally offended by that.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. And I don't know what, you know, if you're going to be in the military, you should be physically fit.
Well, because you never know what's going to be called.
Yeah.
When you're going to be called. So you better be fit. And the same thing with the women. I love women in the military. I totally support them. But if I'm on a battlefield with a woman and she can't carry or she can't physically do stuff,
then she doesn't belong there.
I don't want her there for her sake of, she may go down, and then what if I go down as a man? How is she going to help me? Because she can't pull that weight.
Yeah.
That necessarily gets rid of almost all women in combat arms.
There are exceptions. I mean,
but there are exceptions. There's not very many of them.
No,
that's true. I mean, we talk about when they started to have the discussion about women as firefighters.
Yes.
My youngest daughter is probably 5'1" and weighs 100 pounds when she's eating well. I don't want her as a firefighter. She could probably barely get herself down a ladder. My middle daughter is an athlete. I mean, she was a shot put champion in high school. You know, she could get anybody down a ladder. If the middle one came to me and said, I want to be a firefighter, I'd say, go for it, kid. If the youngest one came to me, I'd say, forget it. Don't even think about it.
Well, the young one has enough sense not to aspire to something she knows she can't achieve.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are women that are athletes, and then there are women that, you know, I claim to be a wimp.
And, again, sometimes it has to do with the job that you're assigned to do.
Just whether the job.
Whether you're assigned to... To be a what do I say? To be
in the infantry,
infantry person, right. Or to be special ops or whatever else. You know, you're going to meet different criteria for special ops.
Well, you saw the lieutenant colonel that was the speaker at the 9/11 memorial at the GOP office.
Yes,
that guy was Strack.
Yes,
he was a Strack troop. And that's why my comment to him was, you're the kind of Air Force officer that keeps the rest of the services from thinking that all of us fly a desk. but I wanted to talk about the grooming standards that Hegseth is reintroducing, because the women can only wear little stud earrings, with some exceptions. Clear polish, short nails.
Yep.
No more of the. The men can't have beards.
Thank God.
And this includes Sikhs, who in 2017 they said you can keep your beard and you can wear your turban as long as it fits under your helmet. Well, now no turbans, no beards, because it was the same reason. If you have a beard, your gas mask doesn't seat properly. And your helmet doesn't fit properly. So no more turbans, no more beards. They've given some of this credit for Marines reaching their recruiting goals, because if you're going to look Strack, you're going to be Strack. People don't want to be slopping around with beards.
And the Navy, you could never have a beard. They were allowed mustaches, but never beard.
No,
fit.
No,
although
no,
I because
no,
my son
no,
is in now,
no,
they're not
no,
allowed
no,
it.
Nope, nope, nope. Zumwalt, do you remember him?
Yeah.
He authorized beards.
Oh, because my son will tell you, nobody's allowed
but
beards.
But I'm sure
in the Navy
came
now.
And went.
I'm sure within Special Forces, you would occasionally have beards.
Well, if you're going
because
under.
Because depending on what they were doing in terms of going undercover or whatever. But again, you've got a whole different level of fitness there, too.
Yes.
And at least we won't have male admirals in dresses anymore, I guess.
I'd just like to make one more comment about the meeting. It was interesting when they were talking about bringing all the generals and admirals together. One of the points that was made, but legitimately, was that our military now has more admirals and generals than they've ever had before. It's just overwhelming numbers.
Top heavy.
Way beyond what we had like in World War II or any type of involvement. And I think that's part of this. You have too many people, too much administration in your organization, which can interfere with your efficiency.
Did you like when Trump told him, if you don't want to clap, you can get up and leave the room, but there goes your rank and your career?
Yes, I love that. But he said he's supporting them.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Wow, that's a lot of guns. East 70 Pond is absolutely loaded with inventory. The most ever. Yes, we've said that before, but it's true. Handguns, shotguns, and rifles continue to roll in daily, but they're coming in faster than they are going out. So Drew is doing the only thing he knows to do, have a sale. A serious sale on hundreds of guns. Currently, East 70 Pond has a nice selection of Browning shotguns and rifles. Whether you hunt upland birds or down east ducks, Browning has the shotgun for you. Bolt action or semi-auto, nothing beats a Browning rifle for big game. Of course, East 70 has guns from nearly every type top manufacturer in stock. So take advantage of outrageous deals on existing stock, including a large selection of AR-style rifles, magazines, and a vast selection of ammo. East 70 Pawn is Craven County's largest and most well-stocked gun shop. The staff is knowledgeable, friendly, and provides exceptional service. Hurry in today and save big. East 70 Pawn, across from the fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and I ask you to go and visit them. And here we go on, what are we, we're heading off to, the Trump with the H-1B visas.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a minute. I have been totally impressed with what President Trump's been doing. I've seen a lot of presidents in my lifetime. I've never seen anybody take the actions that he's taken in such a short period of time. It is amazing what he's accomplishing. And in spite of the courts fighting him on every turn, he continues to persist with his agenda. And I guess he realizes that, you know, he's got the House and the Senate at the moment, but that may not last. I hope it does, but I think he realizes if he's going to get it done, he's got to get done as quickly as possible. So. And one of the things, consistent themes in his actions has been to protect the American worker, to bring manufacturing back, to do things to ensure that the worker in the United States is the first person available to take jobs and not foreigners and so on. And in that regard, there's this a process called the H-1B visa, H-1B. And apparently what it refers to is companies can solicit, recruit foreigners to come in and take jobs in this country. There is a, has been a $1,000 cost to it that the company, so if they hire somebody from overseas, they have to pay $1,000. That's been the process. And a lot of the big tech companies are the ones that are recruiting these people. A lot of them are coming from India, South Korea, different Asian countries. And Trump, last week, they announced that he is changing that process. His Secretary of the Department of Labor has indicated that what they're going to do, they're going to change the H-1B requirements so that each corporation who hires a foreign worker now has to pay $100,000 instead of $1,000 to qualify the person to be able to work in this country. And that is a serious effort. That's one thing I like about Trump. If he does something, he goes all the way. He doesn't pussyfoot around with changing it by a couple $1,000s. He jumped from $1,000 to $100,000. And, you know, that's really going to help, our own workers, our own people. And that's where we should be focused.
The problem with the H-1B visa was that it was being used incorrectly. It was supposed to allow companies to fill rare, high-skilled roles where Americans couldn't do the job. What has happened is that it's allowed companies to hire someone from a foreign country and pay them maybe $50,000 a year, where an American would want $100,000. So their bottom line would be $50,000 better. Well, if you put a $100,000 charge on this, then the cost of that 50,000 worker becomes $150,000. And a lot of our high-tech guys now are coming in and getting $150,000. So this makes the American workers much more competitive with the people that are coming in. And the problem that we have, and this is across party lines, is called the Chamber of Commerce, because the Chamber of Commerce no longer represents America. It represents big corporations. And the corporations are about their bottom line. And this is a way of fighting.
As they should be.
Well, the corporations should be about their bottom line.
Yeah, they have shareholders that they owe
yes.
fiduciary duty to.
But let's not have the corporations own the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, that's up to the Chamber of Commerce.
That's true. But this was misused. And the misuse of it needs to stop.
Well, you know, the misuse was both ways, because once those H-1B workers came, they had to take the low wages, and they couldn't leave that company's employment. So they were like indentured servants.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it was misused on both sides of the bargain.
And it's also been pointed out that Portugal uses a golden visa program that requires a 5-year investment for residency. So his program with I don't remember how much money it is to bring people in.
That was a lot.
$5 million
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah, it was like in the millions.
The people to come in on these golden visas.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Which actually is going to help the American economy also.
You know, the irony is when you look at the H-1B visa, and a lot of that affects the Silicon Valley. I'm going to say the Asians coming in for the Silicon Valley jobs. And yes, they are technically qualified. But we don't ever hear anybody griping about DEI compliance and equality in Silicon Valley. How come? Why? I mean, shouldn't we say that racial and all these other quotas need to be met in Silicon Valley?
Well, I think part of the problem in this whole arena is that we are not educating enough of our students to go into these tech areas.
That's true.
In terms of, and the other thing I saw the other day, that if you look at the United States universities across the board, 73%, now this is amazing, 73% of the graduate students in electrical engineering and computer engineering are foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have all this capacity to train our own people, and we're not doing that. We're letting these foreigners come in, and sometimes the universities like the foreigners come in. I'll bet a big percentage of the Chinese, because they're guaranteed the highest amount of
tuition,
tuition and so on, because their governments are paying for it in a lot of cases. So here we go. We have our educational system being dominated by foreigners, and then we're hiring foreign workers, and our students are being left out. And we really need to encourage learning at the high school and the college level in these areas where they can actually be guaranteed a lucrative job when they get out.
One of the crazy add-ons with what you were just saying, anecdotal add-ons, is we're aware of a school that brought in an awful lot of foreign students that were very good in the school, very, very good. But the school has changed their profile to now bringing in more Native American, more American folks into the school. Why? Because the foreign students get the education and go back to their countries. You never see an endowment from them. The American students will get the education, and then guess what? They fund the endowments.
Yeah.
To add to that, and this is anecdotal going back into the 90s, one of our children is an electrical engineer. She graduated from Cooper Union in New York City.
Great school.
Of the 15 kids in her class that graduated with EE degrees, two of them were Americans. And when she went to the school, they told her flat out that they weren't they weren't real keen on accepting American students, particularly from Massachusetts, because they had Brooklyn Science, which they could get a lot of their students from. But that was generally, they're very limited in the number of American students who could qualify to enter the school. They had mostly, her classmates were Russian, Indian, and Chinese.
You know, and that's what's scary about the public education system, or I should say our failing public education system, because there's so many of these schools, they are not teaching math, the kids are not qualified, they don't meet grade level in math, mm-hmm. and a lot of the technical areas, and you need those skills. And we're just, the public schools continue to go down in terms of their achievement, and yet we put more and more money into it. All they want is more money. What they ought to do, and they ought to do this in Craven County, they ought to go through the entire staffing group, the organization by category, and look at the administrators, because over the past 10, 15 years, most of the increase in staffing in the public schools has been for staff positions, not teaching positions.
As enrollment gone down, administration has gone up.
And I don't see anything being done at the local level to address that issue. And it's about time that somebody on the Board of Education takes this on and looks at the number of these staffing positions that essentially do not facilitate education.
Now, speaking of education, employment, superintendents, etc., recently we have heard the story of Ian Andre Roberts, who was the superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools in Iowa. He entered America in 1999 on a student visa, and he ignored a final order of removal by an immigration judge in 2024. Not only is he an illegal alien, he's in Iowa, he's registered to vote in Maryland as a Democrat.
And gets an absentee ballot?
Yep, gets an absentee ballot.
He was stopped. I don't know why they stopped him, but they stopped him. And he was fleeing ICE during a chase. And when they eventually got him, they found cash, a knife, and a loaded gun in his vehicle. The man was here illegally. He was collecting a salary as $270,000 a year.
Plus $600 a month for a car.
Right.
Plus per diem, which expenses.
Why he was up to like $300,000.
Yeah.
And where was their vetting process?
Well, they said they hired a third-party firm mm-hmm. to do the search. I happen to think that the head of that board, the school board, who's the former chief of staff for Michelle Obama, somehow had her thumb on the scale for equity purposes.
It was interesting to me. He was registered to vote in Maryland. Maryland doesn't need another Democrat voter. I mean, why did they do that?
Well, and you have some of the public now is coming out in support of him. The people in Des Moines are coming out.
Well, students are walking out.
Yeah, I mean, they're all crazed about this.
Why? So we have why no are they... respect for the law.
No. There's no. They're they're going after him.
Let's add one more guest to our talk right now. New York State issued a commercial driver's license to the person named, no name given.
Yes.
That we saw the picture of the license, no name given. So this is a person without a name that passed the test for commercial driver.
Well, after the U-turn incident in Florida that killed three people, Sean, mm-hmm. I think it's Sean Duffy, isn't it?
Yes.
Who ordered an audit of commercial driver's licenses and found out that there's about four states that are the worst
lackadaisical.
The most lackadaisical in handing out CDLs to illegals. And, of course, California's right up there, number one.
See, and here's where the availability, easily available foreigners and illegals. The problem is, let's say we didn't have those people. the people who needed these workers would go out of their way to develop apprentice programs, training programs, like for drivers. They would be recruiting people, but they don't have to do that. All they do is they bring in some illegal, put them on the road, and then they have their driver.
Yeah, but the companies are also fly-by-night. These are fly-by-night truck companies, and if they're drivers get caught with illegal CDLs, the company disappears and pops up under another name over here, hire some more illegals, and on they go their merry way.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCT8 Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Hi, my name's Elena Huber, and I'm running for your New Bern Ward 1 Alderman. As a retired military officer, I offer extensive experience to civic leadership. Years of managing complex operations under pressure make me adept at long-term planning and crisis response. I have led diverse teams through deployments, combat casualties, natural disasters, and the COVID-19 pandemic. My experience with large bureaucracies will help me navigate government systems and promote action from within. Whether it's a hurricane or budget shortfall, I have been trained to be calm in the storm, bringing order and clarity. With 22 years spent developing others and building teams, I am equipped to promote effective action, and I am ready to go to work. Please vote for me on Election Day, October 7th, and early voting begins on September 18th.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to take us in a...
Well, I think Mary would like to talk a little bit about this Gaza peace plan that Trump is proposing.
Yes.
We want to maybe open that topic up a little bit. I think that was
a
discussion.
One of the things that's going on here is I think President Trump's talent is an understanding of how to use economic leverage. And the way that he has created the Abraham Accords is to say to these Arab nations, you can continue living in the 14th century, or you can come join us and have prosperity for everybody. And I think that what he's doing, first of all, drill baby drill in America, lessens the world influence of the Middle East, because they no longer have a monopoly on fossil fuel. People in the Middle East, I'm not saying that everybody wants freedom, because we have discovered before that you can't build a democracy from a tyranny because everybody's not going to support it, and chances are the tyranny killed the leaders that would have led your democracy. So you can't always do that.
Did you read that the Taliban killed the internet for the whole country?
No. Wow.
Talk about freedom.
Yeah.
Wow.
So freedom is not necessarily prevalent in the Middle East. But by saying to these countries, if you will join us, we can all be prosperous together. And
but
we
Hamas
won't be...
doesn't care about any of that.
No, Hamas doesn't. But Hamas is isolated now because Hamas doesn't care
so
about
what?
That.
They don't care.
Well,
they're not going to agree to this.
They're going to be wiped off the face of the map because they don't agree.
Because apparently other Muslim countries have now said, we know that they won't agree, and we may need to flatten Gaza.
Yeah.
And no, but like the point I think Mary's making is, I think some of those other, you know, those countries in that area have been willing to side with the United States to try to get this agreement. They agreed to it.
Yes, yes.
Now, I mean, I think part of it is that I think some of those Muslim countries realize that it's the Muslim Brotherhood that's controlling what's going on, and I think they're afraid of them. So I think it's for their own preservation that they're doing it.
Well, they're also, I mean, and I don't mean this as a negative thing, but they're also in it for the money. Now, you mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood. President Trump is working very hard right now to get the Muslim Brotherhood declared a terrorist organization, which it should be. And the, again, the thing we need to understand about the Middle East, you have Shias and you have Sunnis, and they will fight each other, but they will also join against a common enemy. The argument is not that they want a caliphate. The argument is who they want to run the caliphate and where they want the capital to be. So we need to proceed with caution, because agreements signed may not hold in the long run. But if we can get rid of Hamas, we have accomplished something.
Yeah, I think that my understanding of the agreement was that the Middle Eastern countries would facilitate or support there being a separate governing body completely without any Hamas involvement, theoretically.
Or the Palestinian Authority.
And that's what Trump had proposed. He had said, you know, he would come on, Tony Blair would come on, and then he'd welcome different, but he said absolutely no Hamas.
Yeah,
right.
And no Palestinian Authority, which might as well be
because
the same.
That's what they're trying to get rid of.
It's, and I don't think Israel could accept it without that provision in it.
Right, yes.
And we look thing that shocked me was that I heard as part of this deal that Israel was willing to release 1,700 prisoners, 200 and some of those already had the death penalty.
Yes.
So they have these Muslim terrorists that they've caught, convicted, and so on. And now they're going to release them as part of the deal so they can get 40 hostages.
That's
I don't understand the arithmetic or the sense of that.
That's
always been.
I mean, these
people are out to kill you, and they're releasing it.
That's always been the situation. If you look at the previous hostage releases, you had 10 hostages and 200 terrorists being released.
Yeah.
Israel, I think, is desperate to get its hostages back, and it's willing to pay this price. Now, understand that after these people are released, they're not going to be allowed back in Gaza. Now, unfortunately, the rest of the world is going to have to deal with them, but the rest of the world may not be as kind as Israel has been.
And the bad thing about that, too, Mary, is that if you're a potential Muslim terrorist and you see that, well, you might get captured and you might get sent, but there's a good likelihood that there's going to be a prisoner swap and you're going to be released. So that encourages these people to do that. If they got the death penalty and they were executed, then that would be more of a deterrent than it is to just swap these
people. But not for them, though. For them, it's Allah.
We're in no position to preach about how long it takes to get the death penalty accomplished.
That is true. But the other part of that, too, is while these terrorists are in jail, Hamas is paying their families. The pay to slave thing.
Aid to pay the family.
Yes.
Yeah, the Taylor Force Act was supposed to stop that.
That program that Trump had done away with in his first term, and Biden reinvigorated it.
Well, there's something called the Taylor Force Act, which was passed by Congress that says as long as they are paying families of martyrs, they should not be receiving foreign aid. Unfortunately, it has not, under Biden, it was not enforced at all. I don't know if it's been enforced under Trump. But if you look up the Taylor Force Act, that was passed in the first Trump administration and said, we will not give money to Hamas. And it's based on, I think the soldier's name was, he was an American soldier and his name was Taylor Force. And he was killed by a Palestinian terrorist. And that's who was later his family was paid. And that's where it all came from.
So there is a deadline coming up that they have to either agree to this, and if they don't agree to it, we, along with Israel, are going to go in and turn Gaza into a parking lot.
Yes, they have and 4 days.
I thought it was Friday that the deadline is this Friday.
Yeah, that was the end of the week.
But again, they've been given days. They've been given days to agree or cooperate, and they know that there's so many other countries that that will not stand with them.
Well, part of the problem too is they seem to have an endless. Hamas seems to have an endless supply of weapons, and it came out today that the flotilla that Greta has been involved in was financed by Hamas. So that may not have been, that flotilla may not have been as innocent as it was.
Did anybody think it was innocent?
Well,
you'd have to be really, really
should have,
stupid.
They should have boarded and, you know.
No, we're talking about the flotilla of privately owned
that was
going to
bring aid.
Yes, that was coming with aids. Yes,
they were going to bring aid in and bypass the already established mechanism for getting the aid to. Yes.
I believe they got turned around. They were financed by Hamas.
They needed to be treated more like the boats, renegade boats coming from Venezuela to here that we saw the
drug boats. Yeah,
the drug boats. They're not coming.
Got bluey.
Yes. Yeah.
They learned their lesson.
Yeah, well.
So now what do we have left?
I like to talk about something that's more local for.
We're in the election process. The Tuesday is the last day to vote.
Yes, Tuesday from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And you go to your local.
At your local point.
At your local point. So
that's
far.
For people who are residents of New Bern. Not for people.
Of the city.
Of the city of New Bern. And supposedly at this point. I don't know if you want numbers or whatever, but, you know, it's just people are voting. They're getting out there. We need to get out there. And
there needs to be turnout because in these off-year elections, turnout is the issue.
And hopefully, if the right people get in, they will turn those elections on the off years back into when it's the regular presidential elections because it's costing our little city. What,
70 to 80 thousand dollars?
Yeah.
Could I get to this?
Go for it.
About
go for this.
Energy.
Yep.
You know, President Trump has been very adamant about expanding our energy supplies. In fact, recently, he announced a lifting of some of the restrictions on the use of coal, and it's going to expand the use of coal for generating electricity in our country. Then at the same time, on a kind of a contrary thing, I heard that Tidewater Electric, which is our local supplier, they actually don't generate the electricity. All the electricity in North Carolina is generated by Duke Energy, okay? And these other subgroups actually distribute it, okay? But what they announced was, I believe it's effective January, they're going, the rates that you pay per kilowatt hour is going to be dependent on the time of the day that you use it. And this has not happened in North Carolina before. The energy supply would be independent. So if you wanted to turn your air conditioner on at 10 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't pay any more or less than if you wanted to turn it on at 6:30 in the evening. But they're changing that. They're following what some of the other states have done, like California has that. If you use electricity during those peak period, what they call these peak periods, which is usually like from 4 to like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening, you pay a higher rate. I'm definitely opposed to that. I believe that these energy companies should have the capacity to provide the energy 24 hours a day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at the same rate, which is what they've been doing. But I think they use this to try to suppress the demand for energy at those peak periods, which reduces the amount of energy that they have to produce. We've got AI coming up that's going to need more electricity. We don't need to be conserving our ability to produce electricity. We need to be expanding it. Now they can use coal. They can use these natural gas. That's what they need to be doing. We don't need to be following California.
And that solar thing is now put on the back shelf of the requirements for solar.
And the windmills.
Duke and canceled the windmill for them.
Thank God.
Folks, again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for listening to the show. We ask you to just have a great week. Again, remember to get out and vote. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.